Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
This is really exciting because I feel like we have been, I guess, fans of each other for a while. You know, supporting each other and commenting on IG for a minute. And today it just dawned on me. I was like, let me just ask her to come by the show.
You know, I would love to be here because real time, I've been a fan of you since long before I was on Housewives. So aww. I am a real follower. Yes.
I love my I love it. So I guess a part of where we can begin is for those people who may be under a rock and may not know how you got involved with the whole Housewives of Potomac franchise. Just give us a quick little summary about how you got or you became a part of the mix.
So initially, a friend of mine, she was working on another show, Blood, Sweat, and Heels in New York, and they were contemplating doing a Blood, Sweat, and Heels in DC. So they approached me and asked me if I would be a part of a sizzle reel to pitch to Bravo for a Blood, Sweat, and Heels DC. So I did that sizzle reel, and I showed my life, and of course, being married to a man who's 29 years older than me, being a former beauty queen, X, Y, and Z, all of these factors made me interesting. So even though that show didn't get picked up by Bravo, they kept me in the Rolodex. So when it came time to do this show, the Potomac show, it wasn't called The Real Housewives of Potomac initially. They actually didn't know what it was going to be. So whatever that ensemble cast, female ensemble cast is what we were called, I was added into that mix.
Yeah. And then so did you have any reservations about becoming a part of the franchise, being that you had seen basically the drama that unfolds on other franchises at that time?
Oh, 100%. Yes. I mean, it would be a little foolhardy if I didn't have reservations because there have been so many scandals and you have to be so open and you have to share so many private details of your life. That is not really a natural thing to do. I think naturally we have two faces. We have a personal face and we have a public face. And now being on this platform, the two become one and public and private are the same.
Yeah, it's, you invite people into your personal life and then you have all of the judgment that comes along with it. But you seem to do a really good job with that. I feel like you take it all in stride for the most part. Is there anything that you feel that is off limits that the other ladies should, and you know, you would totally lose it if they mentioned or brought up?
Well, I think the reason that I am a little more adept at handling this is because I am the youngest person in the franchise currently. And I think that because I am of a different generation than a lot of the other ladies, I grew up having more conversation. My mom is very open. I told my mom the first time I had sex, like we just have that sort of dynamic. So having that relationship has helped me to be a more open person in general. So this, it felt kind of par for the course to continue in that vein. As far as my relationship with the women, where I get a little bit is whenever we talk about people's kids. That's just so off limits. You know, these little humans, they didn't sign up for this. We did. So we respect each other. One thing I do appreciate is for the most part, except for a couple of my castmates, or really one of my castmates, we do respect each other's children and our motherhood journeys.
And I think that I was watching a clip, and it was a clip where I think Candace had said some things about your body, and you were coming right off of having a child. How did that make you feel, and why were you so upset about those comments?
Well, it was interesting because I wasn't really upset. Like, I wasn't hurt. You know, hurt my feelings. But the fact that she would be so insensitive to another human at that time showed me that she really didn't understand. Just when I thought, because in my mind, I was trying to move past things with Candace. I was in my peace bubble. After having children, personally, everything just changes, at least for the first few months. And I put Gandhi to shame. I'm so peacekeeping, you know, I want to be friends with everybody. So in my mind, I was like, if I can do that with other people, I can do that with Candace. And then when she made that comment, it reminded me that we were not capable of getting to that good place. And that was hard. It was upsetting.
And going back to a little bit of the history of you and Candace, from what I have gathered and what I've seen on the show is that, you know, Candace, you and her had like some really contest, you know, like aggressive type of interactions. And that is part of the reason why you actually supported Monique in her litigation against, or, you know, they were suing each other, I believe. And you actually supported Monique because you felt that she exhibited that same type of behavior to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a correct summary of the situation? Because she was really upset that you supported Monique in some way. I think you wrote a letter, an affidavit or something in support, or just adding your tidbit to the situation.
Yes, I would say that I wasn't necessarily doing it in support of Monique, but it was a situation that was reminiscent of something that I had gone through with Candace. Mm-hmm. And the common denominator in both situations was Candace. And while I have said to Monique, and I have said countless times, I did not agree with Monique's actions whatsoever, I also didn't feel that the extent of her potentially having charges pressed against her and found guilty in a court of law was warranted. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, she needed to face consequences, but to that extreme, I didn't think was necessary. And so more so than getting back at Candace, it was more so about protecting Monique as a mom, as a woman, you know, who made a mistake. And I didn't think that those consequences warranted that action.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I had Candace and Monique on the show. I interviewed Monique first, I believe. And then I wanted to make sure that Candace had an opportunity to come by and state her, you know, her side of the story. And it became through the grapevine. I heard that, you know, Candace felt that I was making light of what had happened to her. And I didn't. I just felt as though Candace has a behavior that she provokes people. She says things, she puts her fingers in people's faces. Even in this season, she was the one that threw the lettuce first. She picked up some lettuce and threw it at Mia. And then it all kind of snowballed from there. And then once it goes to a certain point, that's when she wants to cry and that's when she wants to be the victim. And that's what I said. You know, I'm a straight shooter. I'm going to tell you how I feel, especially if you come on the B. Scott show. And hey now. And I just think that it's a pattern of behavior that she exhibits. And I don't understand. Like, I'm from the South. So we were raised that, like, if you start saying things in a certain type of way and putting your fingers in people's faces, you better be ready for the outcome.
Mm-hmm. That's because a fair thing to say.
Yeah, because I don't do well with fingers in my face. And right. I don't do well with people throwing things at me. So how do you feel about that this season repeating itself? And you, for this conversation, you were actually present. When the altercation happened with Candace and Monique, you had went to the bathroom and you weren't quite there. But this one you were actually present for. What is your take on it?
Well, it just makes me sad that Candace feels the need to exhibit that behavior, because mm-hmm. what I see is somebody who is obviously hurting. She doesn't understand the magnitude of her actions. She doesn't understand how she contributes so greatly to those things that happen, irrespective of how another person acts. Like, I'm not putting my reaction, for example, or Mia's reaction on Candace, but I am putting Candace's contribution to the altercation on Candace. So it just makes me upset for her. Like, please. And I've told her, Giselle has told her, Robin has told her, Karen has told her, and all the women have said it, people who do care about her and who do want to see her improve as a human, they have all been vocal and tried to help her. But she has, I don't know if she's purposefully closed her ears or if she is just not capable of hearing that she is doing that. And honestly, I feel that after what happened with Moni, there was a change. Let me be clear. I thought there was a change in Candace until I saw the incident with Mia. And it just felt like Groundhog Day. And I couldn't believe it was happening yet again. I was like, really? This week? You can't, your words, she's very smart. You can't just use your words. You got to try to throw some hands, but not real hands.
Not real hands. Yeah. It's like fairy hands. It's like you can kind of see them moving, but they don't really touch you.
Right.
And then, you know, and then she says things that are so like, you know, she said, your mother's low budget. And when she was talking to Mia, and Mia, I was reading an article where she had said that she's afraid that her mother may relapse because of those type of comments. And that's just like, I feel like children, mothers, even on other franchises, when people start talking about mothers, that's when the fights really start. That's when people really lose it. Because, I mean, you can't be talking about nobody's mama. My mother?
Yeah.
Like, really? Right. You gonna bring up Janice? Wait a minute. And then I also noticed that when you recently, I was seeing a clip and Mia kind of started going in on you about your husband. Is your husband at home? Are you sure? How do you feel about that? And I'm looking at the comments in the under the Instagram post, and there's a lot of questions about your husband. So address what Mia said in terms of, how did you know your husband was home? And I think she was alluding to, is he cheating on you? Has he cheated on you? Where are we at with that?
Well, let me first say that, just going back to Candace, I will never give up hope with Candace. I feel like there is potential for her to grow as a person. And if anything on this platform, I think it will greatly help her. And I just will never count it out. I think it could happen. But as far as Mia, what pissed me off to the high heavens was that Mia just got here. Like, literally, girl, your paint is still fresh. I don't understand how she could come out of her mouth and ask me that. If you're a fan, that's fine. You can say you're a fan. But to allude to my husband, and I didn't hear, I don't know if there was a scene that I didn't know about, but had anyone on the show at that time told her about my husband? You know, it was just like, You just came. So please don't try to throw that at me when you don't know me. You don't know who I am. If you're a fan, then I respect that, and that's fine. But also, if you don't like someone asking about your mom who has done X, Y, and Z in the past, why would you bring up something about my husband if you know he's done X, Y, and Z thing in the past that hurt me? So I just felt like she crossed the line. Like, if you don't want people asking, well, how do you trust your mom with your kids? Why would you then insinuate that my husband was doing something wrong with my kids when I had FaceTimed him literally just before I came outside to come to dinner? I had FaceTimed him and my children because it was their bedtime. So for her to come out of her mouth like that, it was so sideways and unwarranted. And I knew she was trying to defend G, but like, girl, don't jump into the, I'm not going to say the grave, because that now there's this whole ageism conversation going on now, but don't let him take you down with him. You know what I mean? If G and I are having a disagreement, you don't have to fall on the sword yourself.
Absolutely. Let's get into some of these questions. So my love muffins at home, I put on my Instagram asking that, you know, basically alerting everyone that I am interviewing Ashley today, and ask them to let me know what questions they want to ask. And on my B Scott Instagram, I have a lot of questions, and a lot of these questions, I think Ashley, you can pull them up too if you have it the phone in front of you. A lot of the questions do pertain to your husband, and I'm going to ask some of the nicer ones and see, just, you know, because we want to live in a place of truth, and I want to feel like we're all getting to the questions that we really want to know. And one of the questions that I see is, you know, what is the state of your marriage now?
Michael and I are married, happily married. We have my kids. Michael has been the best dad ever. I don't know if when my son Dean was born, I think my husband didn't know how he was going to be as a dad. He was very insecure of how he was going to be. He felt like people were going to be asking him all the time, are you the granddad? He felt like he wasn't going to be able to do the things like playing golf and going kiteboarding or whatever. He just thought like his world was going to change so drastically and that he wasn't going to be prepared for it. And then once our children, or once Dean grew up a little, and then I had Dylan, I think Michael has finally found his rhythm as an older dad. And he is the best version of himself that I've been with Michael for 10 years. And the person that I see now is the most secure man that I have seen. And it is affecting his business positively. It's affecting his relationship with his older children positively. It's affecting his friendships. He is just so much more comfortable in his own skin that he was not feeling 2 years ago. So he's done really a 180.
That's beautiful to hear. Another question pertaining to your husband is, ask her what made her attracted to your husband.
Okay.
You're 29 years old. I mean, he's 29 yeah. years older. You are in the, you know, in the prime sexually. What mm-hmm. made you, you know, want to go that route?
Well, B, let me tell you. You know that je ne sais quoi? That je ne sais quoi is a real thing, okay? Mm-hmm. I found Michael physically attractive. But what really stimulated me, and this has always been the case, was his conversation. When I met my husband, I really wanted to be a news anchor back in the day. And I had applied for this job that was basically going to be an entry level to get to the news desk. Like, I was going to work my way up, da da da. And I had been denied for that position. I was really sad. I was bartending. And I was like, God, it was a Wednesday. I was like, F this. Like, I don't want to be here. This just sucks. No one was at the bar. I was about to ask to go home early because I was just so sad. I really wanted that job. And then Michael came in after work and he like sat and had a drink and he was just like, how's your day? And I made a joke, something sarcastic. I remember it was like, you know, not so good. And he asked me why. And I told him, I just unloaded and I almost started crying. And he gave me this pep talk that was like, the motivation that I needed to hear about the possibilities of life. He told me a story about his own, the Lehman bankruptcy that had recently happened, which is one of the biggest bankruptcies in the country in history, and how his business almost collapsed and how he rebounded from that. And he just spoke to me in a way that I needed to hear at that moment. And I just saw him. Again, I find him physically attractive, but I saw him so deeply. Like, I just felt like he spoke to my soul. And honestly, I actually went into my manager's office and I said to my manager, I'm going to marry that man. And my manager was like, what? No. He thought I was talking crazy. I said, I'm telling you, that's my husband.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Well, at the time, I wasn't thinking that. Believe me, I was living my life. I mean, I was living my best life. I was traveling with my girlfriends. I was really living it up. I was 23. I was just having so much fun. So I wasn't quite thinking like, you know, get me out of here. I was really enjoying my life at that time. But I just knew Michael was special. And I was right. He's been the one for me.
And I see even more questions about, like, do you trust him around your nanny? Is he faithful? Do you think Michael is cheating on you now? What is your mm-hmm. response to all this? I'm literally looking at these questions and it's like, definitely focused. Okay. They're focused on Michael. And I feel like that happens a lot to you at the reunion. You know, when people have something negative to say to you, they attack Michael. It seems that way.
Yeah, he's an easy target because he made that mistake that was such a public mistake. And he has done things that have rubbed the ladies the wrong way, which I don't think if you zoom out, I don't think what Michael has done on the show, like trying to jump into the water, I don't think that they are as severe as people think. But because we're on this show and because some of the women don't like it, it exacerbates what he's done or you know, what they think his wrongdoing is. But that incident where he was unfaithful to me because it was so public, that, you know, that just made him fall from a lot of grace in people's eyes. So I understand that. And quite frankly, I feel like it's a bit of a low blow because I can say and do things on my own. You don't necessarily have to take a dig at Michael. You're more than welcome to say what you need to say and go toe to toe with me.
Absolutely. I would agree to that. Another question that I see several times is that, are you thinking about having even any more kids? You have two baby boys. Are you going to try for a girl, or what are your thoughts?
Oh, Lordy. I mean, baby fever is a very real thing. And I think that I'm just starting to get into the swing of myself. I have this idea that I'm working on. I have a project that I'm putting my heart into right now. So I think that's my baby for now. But at the same time, I do feel the fever. As my son Dylan, who's now about to be 8 months, as he's getting older and he's getting more independent, now he's crawling, he's about to start walking, he's standing up now. I'm like, damn, soon he's not going to want me. You know, he's going to be off running around like Dean. Maybe I do want more kids, you know? But I didn't answer your question about my nanny. And that's a really big one. People are so fixated on my nanny. She's 23. She's fun. Like Daisy, her name is Daisy. She's amazing. And I have come to this realization, and I don't know if it's because of the love I have for my kids. What is best for them is so much more important to me, right? And if I had any doubts about Michael and Daisy, you know, like, is Michael looking at Daisy, or I would address that, but I would not preemptively try to keep or not hire Daisy or not have Daisy be around my kids because she's young, attractive, and fun. If anything, my kids benefit more from that, and they would be more harmed by my insecurity. I don't want my insecurity to translate to my kids that early already. Like, oh, your dad, he did this thing in the past and he could do it again. So now I'm gonna take it out on y'all by not having you be with the best nanny for you. That's some selfish stuff. And that's a level of maturity that I have
kids. It's a super level of maturity. And I think it's a level of maturity that most people wouldn't be able to get to. And you have gotten there at a younger age than most people. Wow. Okay.
I wasn't even expecting that.
It takes a lot to make me, to catch me off guard. And that kind of caught me off guard. You're like, well, you know, if it was to happen, you know, then I would, you know, still do what's best for my kids. I would address it. But wow. Yeah. Okay. Do you feel like you have any real friends on the show?
Yes, I definitely do. You know, I did this TikTok with Giselle and Robin, and all these comments on TikTok were saying how, like, we're colorists and we put down our darker skinned castmates. And I mean, just really heinous stuff that is so far fetched and left field, and was really upsetting to me, honestly, because it is not who any of us are in any capacity. Giselle and Robin have become my real friends over the years because we have a lot in common. And being on this journey of being on the show together, yes, we will have disagreements, and we do have disagreements, but there's still this underlying respect that I have for them and that they've had for me that has been amazing. Because off camera, when I had my kids, they would call me, they would check on me, they stop by. Like, those are real genuine things that aren't just for the show. That meant so much to me. So ultimately, I know that those are my real friends. And that's not to say that, you know, we couldn't have disagreements in the future, because it's highly possible. But at this moment, I really do think they're my friends. And Karen and I, our relationship has evolved a lot too, to a very good place.
Catch the show next week for part two of B. Scott's interview with Ashley Darby from The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.